All right, so we're going to look today at On the Run Part 4. And what the Lord spoke to me about a few weeks ago was, are you running to something or are you running from something? And the first week when we were together, we looked at the story of Jonah. Jonah was an Old Testament prophet, and he was and the message there was either run to or from God's will. See, God has a perfect will for our life. And Jonah had evidently, as we discussed and learned in the scripture, that he must have made some sort of vow to God that he would do whatever God told him to do. Well, God then told him to do something that he didn't want to do. So instead of heading east to go deliver a message, he went west and he was wanting to go as far as he went from God, but that didn't work out. You can never go outrun God or get away from God. So God brought him to a position of humility, and then he delivered his message. But he delivered with a bad attitude, but he still delivered it, and that's a sermon for another time. Then the second week, we looked at the story of David and Goliath. That's an exciting story. We've all faced Goliaths in our life, and everybody has one that comes against them every now and then. And that was talking about either you run from your battles or to your battles. You know, we should never be afraid to fight the good fight of faith. Because we win because Jesus won. And I know we all face obstacles. Everybody does. Nobody's going to go through this life without some sort of battle sometime. So if you're in a battle, it has nothing to do about God loving you. It just knows that, you know, sometimes the devil comes against us and things just that we just have to deal with them. So we looked at that. Then last week was not as fun for some, but it was good. Flee from greed. We looked about how can't get greedy. You know, greed is a form of idolatry, and it keeps us from trusting God. And see, that's what we need to be. We need to be a believer that follows God and trusts Him. And sometimes if we have trust issues in our life, which I know many of us do sometimes, you know, it's hard to get to that place where we totally trust God, but that's where He wants us to be. So today we're going to look at the idea and the topic of grace. The passage I want to look at, if you want to turn to it, is Galatians 5, verse 6 to 8. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard and also the NIV. So first is the New American Standard. Blah, blah. My tongue ain't working quite good this week again. All right. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Then Paul goes on to say, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Okay. Then in the NIV, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And this is the key I want us to get to. You were running good race, running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion did not come from the one who calls you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the anointing that's able to break every yoke of bondage on our lives, Lord. I thank you for freedom that Christ set us free. Lord, earlier in this passage, we know it talks about falling from grace. Lord, we don't want to fall from grace, but we want to stretch out and press in to the good things that you have for us that you've freely given. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is something I like to fall back to periodically every year, is the topic of grace. And the first point we're going to look at today is that we need to get off to a good start. And I believe that most of us have been able to get off to a good start in life. And it talks about being in Christ, or what I like to say, in Christed. You know, when we come to Jesus Christ and we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, there's things that happen in our life in the spiritual realm that we need to just receive, and that really gets us off to the good start. What I found out, it's a place of acceptance. Acceptance. A lot of times in life, you and I struggle with acceptance. Maybe you go into a new situation. Maybe you're in a different circumstance, and maybe you started a new job, or maybe you're in a different place, you know, in your life, and it's all kind of new to you, and you don't feel accepted when you go in there because maybe you don't feel like you're good enough. You know, I remember starting out as an electrician. The biggest dread I had was when the journeyman told me to go find something in the trailer. What it was a semi-trailer with all kinds of shelves built long ways in it. and all these boxes of electrical materials, and it was my first week or two on the job. You know, I knew enough to be dangerous, you know what I mean? Well, they would send me for items that we needed, and I would, and to this day, I'm not the person you want to send looking for something. If it's not in the front of the refrigerator, it's not in there. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I roll. I don't know where stuff's at. Don't like looking for it. I want my stuff right on the front. If I make oatmeal, I want my brown sugar right in the front of that cabinet. And I've had conversations with my wife. Why do you move the brown sugar behind something else? I use it all the time. You know, I want it up front, you know. I just don't like looking for stuff. Well, anyway, it's so stressing to look for things. And then they would mess with you and send you for something that ain't even been created yet. You know, you're in there just tearing through everything, looking for things, you know. And, you know, you just don't feel accepted because, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Also, when you're in Christ, it's a place of security. It's a safe place. You know, I believe that, you know, we need to understand the idea of what security is all about. You know, we live in an age, especially today, there's a lot of people that don't feel safe. And really, sometimes it's taken to extremes and a lot of different things. But primarily, we need to understand that, number one, I try to drill it in the kids in this church that this is a safe place. This is a sanctuary. This whole building, you know, is a safe place. You should never get bullied here. You should never have problems here like that. I don't care what happens at school. It don't happen here. You know what I'm saying? And it's like that in Christ. You know, it's a place of security with Him. Also, it's a place of victory. You know, we run His race. We don't run our race, really. We run His race, and it's a race that He's already won. He's already crossed the finish line. Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." You know, He won. So we need to learn how to tap into that. Now, what I see about grace is that grace gets us off on the right foot and off to a good start. You know, and that's what we need to understand. It's not by works, it's by grace. And if we tap into that and really understand it and receive it in our spirit, then we're going to walk in that place of victory, security, and peace, and, you know, just the idea of acceptance and what that's all about. Now, to me, grace takes the awkwardness away from every situation, and it gives us a sense of belonging. And I remember when I first started to go to church, you know, I hadn't really been raised in a church. I went to church a little as a kid, but, you know, I went to that church. It was a big church out in Denver, just a few blocks away, and I walked into that building for the first time. There's 1,000 people in there, and, you know, which is one-third of the size of our town, you know. I mean, it's just in there, and I just felt out of place, and it was my own fault. Well, number one, I wasn't saved yet, so, yeah, I did feel a little awkward in there because I knew what I'd done the night before, you know, so I knew that these... But then I found out a lot of those people did the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, so don't put other people on a pedestal. That was a good revelation for me. But, you know, I went in there and I felt a little awkward. But then something really changed is when I accepted Jesus Christ and I felt like I was a part of the family. And that took that away. And really, that was the grace of God. Now, grace takes us away from performance-driven Christianity. You know, one thing that I learned, see, I got saved in November and went to Bible school in January. So I did real quick. So Bible school was a type of discipleship for me. But a lot of people in the school, they didn't have this all sorted out in their head either. You know what I mean? They were all into what we call works righteousness. You know what I'm saying? That means I got to outperform you so I can get closer to God. You know, so if I know more scriptures than you, then I'm a better Christian. Or if I pray a little bit longer than you, I'm a better Christian. Or if I attend church 4 times a week, you only attend church 3 times a week, I'm a better Christian than you. And see, that's the mentality that you and I get into sometimes. And it takes us away. Now, it's all good to go out and do things, read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. You need to pray. You should be faithful to church. These are all givens. But what we're going to look at today, and we want to get back to, and I want you to always check yourself, is the motivation inside of us of why we do things. Because that's going to be a very liberating thing for you. You know, I remember talking to somebody right after I had gotten saved. I was only saved a few months, but I had a radical conversion, and God delivered me from a lot of different things in my life and started to, you know, infuse and impart some revelations to me. And I still remember this young lady, well, she's probably a little older than I was. She was a janitor to church, and she didn't feel like she was as good as some of these other. Her roommates were Bible school people. You know what I mean? This girl wasn't a Bible school person. You know, she worked at the church as a janitor. And so she felt, and to be honest, I believe her roommates kind of portrayed that a message to her, that they were better than her, that they were more spiritual than her. And so she was very down. She was crying and just kind of all broken up. And I talked to her, and you know, I was able to counsel her a little bit and, you know, give her some revelation about grace and what it means that, you know, being a janitor for Jesus is a great job. You know, if you're doing it with the right heart. And see, that's what we need to understand, is the fact that how much God loves us and how much He cares for us. And that no matter what we do, if we're doing it with the right attitude, we're just as good as anybody else. And that's a freeing revelation that we get. You know, see, grace takes that performance-driven Christianity away. Like I said, the greatest revelation was for me is the fact that I could never get good enough, no matter how much I tried. Because I went to church about a year, you've heard my testimony, before I actually gave my life to Christ. And I hear the word preached, and I knew what kind of, you know, you don't have to be very smart to really kind of know what some of the ins and outs are of Christianity. You know what I mean? There's some certain things that you do, and there's certain things you probably should not do. And I was doing a lot of the things that you should not do. You know what I mean? I couldn't get free from them. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter what was going on in my life, I just never felt like I could get good enough. How about you? Do you feel that you can get good enough for God on your own? I hope you don't feel that you can, because nobody can get good enough for God. Not one person in this room can ever get good enough for God on their own. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He came because when we tap in and flow with Him, then we get good enough because we tap into what He has done. See, to me, when I got saved, how many have seen the movie Rocky? Remember the first one that came out? I lived that, man. That came out when I was a young man. And, you know, everybody feels like an underdog sometimes in life, don't you? I mean, a little bit. I mean, I don't know too many people here that's born with a silver spoon in their mouth and everything they just asked for, they got. I mean, I don't know anybody that's told me that happened, but most of us feel like an underdog. And you just remember Rocky running through the streets, da-da-da, da-da-da. You know, I'll spare you the singing. But, you know, all of a sudden, Rocky, he takes them stairs and just runs up, and you just feel like you're a part of that. You know what I mean? That's what getting saved is like. You know what I'm saying? You're just overcoming. I mean, Rocky, he was an outsider. He didn't really deserve a shot, but he got a shot. And see, that's what we are. We didn't deserve a shot, but God gave us a shot. And see, when we yield and tap into what He has, we can be like Rocky running up them steps and just lifting our hands high and just raising that hallelujah like we sang a minute ago. Amen? You know, and that's what the grace of God does, because it's nothing that we could do, but it's what He did for us. And as we do that, you know, we can really play that Eye of the Tiger. I was going to play that today, but I didn't have enough time to edit it and do everything. But to me, when we're going through life, you know, when we walk in God's grace, because every now and then we get into works, and that's what Paul's talking about. These people got in trouble because they left grace. Paul chastised them, I think, up in verse 4, or around in there, he said, "You have fallen from grace." What does that mean? It means they stopped trusting in what God has done, and they started to trust in what they could do. And that's when we start to get into trouble. That's when we need to regroup and recalculate and figure out, because when we walk in grace, we can sing out, "Getting strong now." You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt like that? You know, you can sing out, "Getting strong now." You know, God is growing inside of you. And the things that used to tick you off, or the things that used to, you know, make you bow your knee, you do not bow your knee no more. Because the greater one inside of you is rising up inside of you, and you're starting to walk in victory, and you're giving Him all the glory. And see, that's what that's like when we walk in God's grace. Because God's grace is God's power to be able to make us overcome. See, to me, grace is not an excuse. A lot of people use it as an excuse. You know, some people preach a watered-down gospel and that it's okay. You know, I believe we all should feel acceptance, but I do believe that grace has given us the power to overcome. That's what it's done in my life, and I believe that He can do it in everybody's life. You know, we can overcome these things when we tap into what God has for us. So just when, you know, but when things are going real good, then we run into a problem. That's my second point we're going to look at today, is about hindrances. Hindrances is what impedes our progress. You know, hopefully we're going from glory to glory. Amen? But sometimes it don't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like we're going from a beat down to a beat down, right? Every now and then, them things happen. So there's hindrances. And what happens in the NIV there, it says, who cut in on you? Now, I'm not much on jogging. You know, when I started jiggling, like I've always told you, you know, I stopped my jogging. But to me, it pictures a race. And you're going along in your lane, and then all of a sudden, somebody hops in front of you and cuts you off. To me, I don't know if you guys watch horse racing. I like watching the horse race, just three of them. I like to see if they're going to be a triple crown winner. And this year in the Kentucky Derby, it was really kind of interesting. I made it home or something. I just turned the TV on just the right time. The race started. Okay, here they go. You got horse number one, horse number two, horse number three. I don't know their names. Horse number one's on the inside, horse number two's in the middle, horse number three's on the outside. Okay, they're going along real fast. They're starting to head towards the end of the towards the finish line. Horse number one's been in the lead for a while. All of a sudden, horse number two's coming up really fast, and I just knew that I knew horse number two's going to win because it was closing, and I knew it was going to win. All of a sudden, horse number one jutted over, bumped into horse number two, broke its stride, and went on to win the race. Wasn't fair. And right when it happened, I say, hey, that was a foul. And the announcers never said nothing. About a minute later, oh, hey, there's a penalty. There's something happened here. They called a foul. And the first time that, it hasn't happened very much, but the Kentucky Derby winner got disqualified. Stripped it of its victory. Why? Because it went in the wrong lane and bumped the other horse. Horse number two was going to win. But you know what really irritated me? Horse number two got bumped so bad, it fell back a little bit, and horse number three come in second. Who do you think they gave the victory to? Horse number three. It wasn't going to win. Horse number two was going to, but it was bumped. It broke stride. And it just wasn't fair. But that's just the way the things go sometime. But see, that's what happens to you and I. We're running through life and we're following God and we have the grace of God working in our life and we're really excelling and we're almost ready to win. And then some religious person bumps us and breaks our stride and makes us feel, you know, I've been pastoring for over 20 years, and I've watched a lot of people, and, you know, I know we used to have somebody in the church a long time ago that moved away, that they would be going along good, like horse number two, about ready to win, then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, they just felt like, I'm not praying enough. I'm not reading the Bible enough. And before you know it, they went from here, and they just went down into a state of depression, because they found out they could never do enough. But see, we have to understand that we need the grace of God in our life so that we can overcome those obstacles and not get bogged down with all the problems that's going on. Because when we get cut off in life, we change our course or we end up altering it. See, the wrong motivation can get us running the right direction, but running the wrong way. I've watched a lot of people really doing a lot of things for God. Oh, I know people just memorize scripture and they quote scripture up one side and down the other. But I'll tell you what, when the pressure's applied, it's not in their heart, it's in their head. And so the devil beats the tar out of them. But they can memorize scripture. But see, it's got to be inside of us. It's got to be with the right reason of why we do what we do. We got to settle the why in our life. See, the law was a tutor. It was never meant to be a way of life. And this passage goes into all that, and I didn't want to read the whole thing, but to me, the law in the Old Testament, even, you know, to the Jews here, see, some of them were, the Jewish Christians were still under law a little bit, and they would come into the Gentile churches around them, and they would tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that. Now, circumcision was one of the signs of the covenant, right? You know, so every male was supposed to be circumcised, and that meant that they were in covenant with God. So when the Gentiles came to Christ, some of the Jews would come up and tell them, hey, you got to be circumcised, or you're not really in. You know what I'm saying? You're not part of the group. But Paul said, you know, if you're doing it from that mentality, you got to keep the whole law. You know what I'm saying? That means you got to do everything, which nobody can do. So that's why we need to make sure we flee ourselves. See, God, through the law, what I thought the law was good, it was a good point of reference. You know, God could show us, you know, here's where you are right now. Here's where I want you to be, but you're never going to make it. Sounds depressing, don't it? But it's not. Because that's when he sent Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law. He paid for everything. And when we choose to tap into what he has, then we can start to walk in victory. You know, grace, you know, it's hard because grace has no measuring stick. You know, and that's what we like to do, compare ourselves to others. And that happens from time to time. Now, do you remember when you were growing up, at least my grandpa did this and great-grandma, we'd go up to their house and every year, maybe it's on your birthday or when you got out of school, they would put a little mark on the door jamb. And every year, hopefully your marks went up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And we never did that in our house, and I regret it, you know, that we never did it with our kids. But, you know, you could always tell, you know, that you've grown. And for me, being short, you know, being vertically challenged in life, I love to see progress. You know, I'd love to see my marks go up the door jamb. And they'd write the date, and, you know, some years you'd have a good growth spurt. You know, might get an inch or two. Other times, you know, you might only go a half inch, and that was a bad year. You know, you just didn't grow much. And see, that's kind of what it's like when we're in Christianity. You know, sometimes we just grow fast, and sometimes we grow slow. But what's hard for us to understand, and that's why we always try to compare ourselves with others and see what we're doing, is because grace has no number, and grace has no measuring stick. It's just something that we just have to accept. And that's the hardest thing to do, because we're going through life, we're running our life, and we're doing this, and all of a sudden we get bumped by a religious thought or religious person. And then it causes us to try to think that we have to, you know, measure up in a different way. You know, we get off track, we think, well, I got to help God fix me. I'm not getting fixed fast enough. You know, so I need to fix myself better. I need to do this or I need to do that. And that gets us off track, because faith doesn't always see immediate results. See, when you're growing inwardly, you don't always see the change outwardly all the time. But see, as long as you're continually growing inwardly, it won't be long till that's starting to manifest in your life. Then you're going to start to see a lot of success start to happen, especially, you know, in the things of God. You know, grace to me is relaxing. You know, we have a lot of uptight people in the body of Christ today, don't we? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, a lot of different things. And, you know, maybe you feel like, you know, you feel a lot of pressure. You feel anxiety. You feel all these things that go on. And, you know, they kind of get us off our game. But grace helps us to relax. And grace can be scary, because we get to the idea of, can it really be that easy? It can't be that easy, but God made it so it was. Now, grace doesn't mean that you don't care. Grace means that you are careless. That's why the Bible says in Philippians, cast all your cares, or, you know, don't let your cares get you down, right? You know, those cares is what get us off. So this revelation is so simplistic. To receive grace, all you have to do is accept acceptance. You have to accept acceptance. You have to accept the fact that you're accepted in the family of God. And just like when you get married, you know, when you get married, all of a sudden you're into a different family. Now that family, you know, hopefully you got into a good one. You know, I did, and I'm pretty fortunate. You know, but hopefully you feel accepted there. And that's how we got to feel accepted when we're in the family of God. And that we need to accept that acceptance, knowing that there's nothing we can do to make it any better. Now, when you're part of a family, you start to do a part of things, you know. A lot of times, you know, some people, you know, family reunions and different things, you know, some people don't come, they show up late, they eat quick, and they leave early. You know what I'm saying? You know, they just don't want to be around other family members. You know, hopefully that changes, because, you know, we need to have that fellowship together. Now, when it talks about circumcision here, it's talking about circumcision of the flesh or of the heart, and that's what we need to look at. Which are we changing? Is it an outward work or an inward work? You know, outward work does not bring real inward change. You know, whenever I tried to fix myself and I would try to be somewhat disciplined and doing certain things, and, you know, I could do it for a while, but, you know, just like, you know, we have a goal, my wife and I, now, you know, we don't eat anything past 7 o'clock. That went good for about 2 or 3 weeks. Well, then all of a sudden you're late, you know, getting home or something, and then you start the snacking, and now we got to start that all over again. Why? Because I'm not strong enough on my own. That's why I need God's grace. That's why I need Him to come in and to take control and take charge of my life. Because that outward work will not bring inward change. Now, the inward work will bring outward change. And it comes back to the legalistic stuff versus faith. And religious people are always trying to pull us back from freedom and take the fun out of Christianity. And I will tell you this, I have been around people like that, that take all the fun out of being a Christian. You know, I thank God that He put me in contact with some fun people when I got saved and taught me what being a Christian was really all about. That it's something you can enjoy and be a part of. It's not about what you can't do, it's about what you can do. You know, I didn't, you know, when I really got radically saved, I didn't care one iota about what I couldn't do anymore. It wasn't even a part of my thinking. I just was so excited about what I can do now. And see, that's what we need to bring in to our relationship, and that's my last point today, is to get to the point that is faith working through love. Now, our love walk is very important. Agape love needs to be the driving force or our motivation in life. You know, love takes action, and it's not to get, but to give. And that's the agape kind of love, the God kind of love. Remember in the Greek, there's several words that are talking about love. You got, you know, philo love and eros love, but there's agape love. It's a love that gives, not to get. And so when we walk in the motivation of love, we're always giving, expecting nothing in return. And that's a good place to get. Now, it's hard to get there all the time because we're human. But see, what I like to see is that it's works of faith working by acts of love. You know, faith working by acts of love. And that's the motivation that we need to have in our heart, is the idea that we have love, the love of God in our heart, and we do things because we're not doing things to try to get God's attention, but we're doing things because we want to just show love, the same love that God showed us, I want to give to you. And that's what we need more of in our culture, don't we? We need that in our culture today. We live in a divided land and divided, you know, interests and divided motivations. And if we get to the place where we walk in love and start walking in acceptance, I think we'd be in a better place. Because the Bible says faith without love is nothing. It says so in 1 Corinthians 13. But also, love without faith is aimless. You know, a lot of people just say, oh, God loves, God loves, God loves. And somebody told me that, and I says, yeah, but do you love God back? Amen. And I had to think about it, you know. God loves everybody. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but not everybody's going to go to heaven now, are they? It's not automatic. It's people that love Him back. And the Bible says if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. Just like in the institution of marriage. If you love your spouse, you'll do things for them, right? You'll remain faithful to them. You won't do anything that will hurt them. And see, that's the kind of love that we have in our relationship with Jesus. So, you know, what we do is important, but not as important as why we do it. And that's what I want to get us to today. Do we do those things because we love God, or do we do things because we want God to love us? And I want us to settle in our heart today, there is not one thing that you can do to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. Now I want you to think about this as Christians. This is going to, boom, explode in your mind. Because when we're a sinner and we're told that God loves us, we accept that, don't we? I hope we do. That's what, you know, it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. And we can easily say, you know, you're witness to somebody you love or a friend or maybe something you don't even like and you just want to get them saved. And you tell them, God loves you. God loves you. But then as a Christian, we get saved and we're serving God for a while. Then somebody cuts us off and we change stride and we get off in a wrong lane. And then we get into comparison. And then we wonder, does God love me because I made this mistake? Because I did this wrong. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have stabbed that person in the back. Right? But think about it. If God loved you when you were a sinner, don't you think He loves you now that you're a son or a daughter? Think about that. Never doubt God's love. Never doubt His acceptance. Because if we can get to the place where we can walk in that, the devil doesn't have an open door or an open window into our life to hurt us, to hold us back. Because we always know that we're a part of God's family. And to me, that was a great revelation. Because so many times we get into the idea of performance, and then we forget that God loved me when I was a dirty old sinner, but now that I'm a Christian, you know, I have to work for that love. So we need to just let go and let God, you know, just choose to be a vessel for Jesus to live through. You know, always remember, check yourself, why am I doing this? You know, make sure you're staying true. You know, when we went through the freedom class, it kind of covered this waving in and out. You know, the idea of making sure that we're eating from the right tree. We're eating from the tree of life, not the knowledge of good and evil. You know, making sure that you're putting the right stuff in so that the right stuff comes out. See, God doesn't want us to stay the same. I say this because this is the balance between, you know, the balancing act. You're walking the tightrope, you know, that on one hand we teach grace and the fact that there is no measuring stick. You know, so it's still, God wants us to grow. He doesn't, you know, a lot of people when they hear the grace message, they just, you know, just quit trying. You know, what you got to do, you got to keep growing. You got to keep, you know, being led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will tell you what you need to do and what not to do. And see, to me, that's how we stay tapped into that grace, because, you know, God doesn't want us to stay the same. So to me, I just want us to remember the idea is that grace is about accepting acceptance. And I do believe that our self-image in God is probably one of the things that probably needs healed most in the body of Christ. Because our self-image in God sometimes gets skewed by the idea of, like I said, comparison or different things. You know, you may be doing something for Jesus, then all of a sudden somebody comes along and you're looking at them and they're doing it better than you. And you go, oh no. Don't worry about such things. Just know that God loves you. And that God's grace is what's going to make you be the person that He's called you to be. Amen? Let's pray.